So our title this morning is Give Your Fears to the Father. Seems as though that this past year that fear has controlled our movements and our thoughts and our decisions. So I ask you this morning, are you struggling with fear? Are you recognizing that it is fear? Some of the things that we deal with today is the coronavirus, the pandemic. Perhaps you have fear about a job, maybe getting laid off. Perhaps lack of food is one of your fears. Where's my next meal going to come from? Or maybe it's just something else. So I ask you, are you seeing the size of your worries? And are you not seeing the size of your Savior? I think this morning that I can help point you in a direction that might help you to right size your fear. And I'd like to start with a long look at Jesus. A look at his face. It's the expressions of Jesus that puzzles us. We've never before seen his face like this. We have seen Jesus smiling. We have seen Jesus weeping. We have even seen Jesus stern with those around him. But until now, with this scripture, we have not seen Jesus' cheeks streaked with tears. We have not seen his face flooded with sweat and rivulets of blood dripping from his chin. You remember the night Jesus left the city and went to the Mount of Olives? Scripture tells us this was not an unusual thing for Jesus to do. And his followers went with him. When he reached the place, what did he do? He said to them, pray for strength against temptation. Now, why did Jesus ask them to do this? Jesus asked the disciples to pray that they would not fall into temptation because he knew that he would soon be leaving them. Up until now, they always had Jesus to tell them and to direct them. They always had Jesus to point out the temptations. They always had Jesus to remind them to not fall prey to them temptations. Jesus also knew that they would need extra strength to face them temptations. Perhaps it was temptations to run away or to deny their relationship with him. They were about to see Jesus die. Can you imagine the fear on the face of the disciples? Or the doubts? What are we going to do now? We don't have the Son of God here to tell us what we need to do. We're now on our own. That in itself is fear. Remember when you first went out on your own? Among other emotions, I'm sure fear was one of them. How did you handle it? Would the disciples still think that he was the Messiah? Perhaps doubt set in. The disciples' strongest temptation would undoubtedly be to think that they have been deceived. What do you mean he's dying? So the scripture tells when Jesus went about a stone's throw away from them, he kneeled down and he prayed. There is so much to this prayer that we have a tendency to overlook the detail. We've been told all our lives about this scripture, that he prayed to his Father. But what he prayed is what I want to talk about this morning. So in this prayer he says, Father, if you are willing, did you catch that? If you are willing, take away this cup of suffering. How often when we pray do we ask if God is willing? Or did we just blot out what we want or say out what we want God to do for us? How often is our prayers for somebody else? How much time in our prayer is it for our own request? For our own temptations. But not Jesus. The first thing he said was, if you are willing, take this cup of suffering. He's really saying, but do what you want, not what I want. So here in this prayer, was Jesus trying to get out of his mission? I don't think so. It's never wrong to express our true feelings in detail to the Father. Jesus exposed his dread of coming trials. He told the Father of his fear. And he asked it if you are willing, Father, stop this whole process. I don't want to go through this agony and defeat and death, but I will if it's your will. So he also reaffirmed his commitment to do what God wanted. How often is that in our prayer? How often do we say, God, I want what you want? Or we just let our fear overcome us and control us in our thoughts and our deeds and in our actions. The cup he spoke of meant that terrible agony he knew he would endure. Not only the horror of the crucifixion, but even worse, the worst of it all, the biggest fear that Jesus Christ had. Remember, he's human at this point. His biggest fear was total separation from God that he would have to experience in order to die for the world's sins. That was Jesus' biggest fear, of being separated from the Father. So what happened then? An angel from heaven appeared to him for one purpose, to give Jesus strength. Strength that would overcome his fears, or strength that would help him to endure the fear that he had of being separated from the Father. And then being full of pain, Jesus even prayed harder. You see, it says his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. Luke is the only one that tells us that Jesus' sweat resembled drops of blood. The other Gospels actually say or suggest that it literally was drops of blood. I don't know what the difference is. I don't know what the meaning of each one is. But I do know that the blood, or what appeared to be blood, was a sign of how much fear Jesus had at that time. He went ahead with the mission for which he had come. He had laid his fear in the lap of his Father God. And with that, he went ahead because he knew that his mission was God's will. And to do God's will circumvented his fear. So what do we do with this image of Jesus? What do we do with knowing the fear that Jesus went through? How do we deal with that? What does that mean for us? Well, when we are letting fear control us for whatever reason it might be, we just simply need to turn to it, look it straight in the face, and do the exact same thing that Jesus did. Get on our knees and pray to the Father that it would be His will to take away that fear or give us the strength that the angel did to deal with it. That is to say that when fear is in control and when agony blocks our vision, we need to read the scripture in Luke. When our face appears the same as Jesus, we must be reminded that Jesus gave it to the Father. And then what did he do? He moved on. He proceeded with the mission. Having given his fear to the Father and given the strength from the angel that was sent from heaven, he then could continue his mission and go to the cross. So I ask you this morning, don't you think it's likely that fear was one of the emotions Jesus felt? He was human. Why would he not fear or feel the fear? One might even argue that fear was the primary emotion when Jesus went to the Mount of Olives and moved away from the crowd and knelt on his knees and called on his Father. He saw something in the future that was so fierce, so foreboding, that he begged for a change of plans. He said, "Father, if you are willing, take away this cup of suffering." His prayer was, "Father, I can't do this. You need to help me to deal with these fears and move on." His prayer was, "If you are willing, and if you're not, then I will continue with the mission that you have laid in my lap. Because he asked God to deal with his fears. So this morning, what causes you to pray this same prayer that Jesus prayed? Is it facing a pandemic? Is it fear that you're dealing with, that we deal with, that keeps us from coming to church? Is it fear that keeps us from living as much of a normal life as we can through this pandemic? I'm not asking or suggesting that we be stupid. God wants us to be wise in our decisions. But he wants us to ask him to help us with that wisdom. And he wants us to turn our fear over to him. He wants us to not allow fear to control our actions and our words and our deeds. Rather, it be dealing with the pandemic. Or any of the other things that we're faced with today. Perhaps you have a fear of leaving the house. Maybe you have a fear of being in a crowd. I don't have a fear, I don't think, but I know I don't like being in big crowds anymore. Maybe you have a fear of walking into a hospital or boarding an airplane or speaking publicly. I can tell you one time in my life, that was one of the greatest fears I ever had, was to stand up in front of people and speak publicly. The first time I ever did, I was so afraid I couldn't remember to breathe. Literally. I had to stop in the middle of sentences because I didn't have enough breath left to complete it. Perhaps it's a fear of starting a new job or a fear of driving on a highway. Perhaps it's a fear of going out in the public and being with a crowd because you are afraid to catch the virus. Again, none of this is suggesting to be stupid. But what I am trying to point out this morning that we need to recognize our fears and we need to give it to God and ask him that it be his will that I can function normally. I'm not saying we need to push all fears aside and move forward, but I am saying that we need to ask God to direct us and guide us in dealing with these fears and be very specific and ask him to bear that burden of that fear for us. We need to ask God to replace that fear with faith. You see, when our fear is bigger than our faith, is when we get in trouble. Your source of your fear may seem small to others. I'm sure it does. I'm sure it seems smaller to others than it does to you or to me. But here's the facts. Fear freezes your feet. Fear prevents you from moving forward. Fear makes your heart pound faster. We hear this occasionally on a regular basis where something happened to somebody and because of the fear, he had a heart attack, or she, and didn't survive. Fear brings blood to your face. We get red in the face. That's exactly what happened to Jesus. His sweat was like drops of blood. You see, doctors describe this condition as hematidrosis. This is a medical fact. Severe anxiety causes the release of chemicals that breaks down the capillaries in the sweat gland. But Jesus was more than anxious. Jesus was afraid. Remember, he was human. What would you do? If God laid in your heart that you are to be crucified, what would you do? Would you allow fear to control your actions? Or would you ask God that His will be done and move forward in faith? You see, fear is rooted in worry. To give you a description of this, worry, if worry is a burlap bag, then fear is a box of concrete . With worry, we can still function. Maybe a little bit different, maybe not quite as well, but we still can function. But with fear, like I said, it stops us right where we're at. But how kind that he was told about it. We tend to do the opposite. We gloss over our fears. We cover them up. We keep our sweaty palms in our pockets. And our nausea and our dry mouth is a secret. We do everything in our power to not show our fear. And the truth of the matter is if we took it to God, we wouldn't have to disguise all these other things because they would then be non-existent. All of this was not so with Jesus. We see no appearance of false strength in his face. He was solid. He was stern. His relationship with Jesus or with God was permanent. And it was so strong, there was so much strength there that one of his greatest fears was to not be in the presence of God. And because of this strength and because of him coming to God and asking that his will be done, Jesus as a human had enough faith to move forward with the mission. So here it is. The first one to hear his fear was who? It wasn't the disciples. It was God. The first one he went to was the Father. Now he could have gone to his mother. That wouldn't have been entirely unusual for a human. He could have confided in his disciples. These are the people that he was the closest to. He could have assembled a prayer meeting. He could have just said there on the Mount of Olives, okay, here we are. Let's all get together in a circle. Let's all hold hands. And let's have our prayer vigilance. But he chose to separate himself so he could be one-on-one with his Father. He went to his Father first. But see, our tendencies is to go everywhere else. For some people, fear takes over, and the first place they go to is a bar and get stupid drunk. And when they sober up, the fear's still there, so they get stupid drunk again. Or maybe they go to a counselor. Or maybe they find a self-help book. Or maybe they confide in a friend. Now let me say this. And I speak for myself. Generally, when you confide in a friend, you're confiding in somebody that has the same like thoughts that you have. Or you wouldn't have been a friend. And I'm not saying don't do this, but what I'm saying is if you are going to go to a friend, to a person that has the same like thoughts that you have, Be conscious of it. Because what's going to happen is they're going to advise you in the same direction that you're already heading. They're going to confirm what you're already thinking. But that's not true when we go to God. And it's certainly not true when we have enough faith to say, "Let your will be done, not mine." So how did Jesus endure the terror of the crucifixion? He went first to his Father. So I challenge you, or I ask you, or I beg you this morning to do the same with your fears. Don't avoid life's Garden of Gethsemane. Enter it. Walk through them gates with pride. Don't just enter it alone. And while there, be honest. Be specific. Tell God exactly your thoughts. And ask Him to calm your fears. And ask Him for that heavenly angel to come down and descend and give you strength. But at the same time, pounding the ground, so to speak, is permitted. Tears are allowed. And if you sweat blood, you won't be the first one. Do what Jesus did. Open your heart. Be specific. That's the example that Jesus Christ gives us on how to deal with our fears. Take this cup, he prayed. You see, when we ask God to take our cup, we must be specific. Give Him the dates of the events if you need to. Provide Him with the number of the flight that you're about to get on. Tell Him about their doctor's appointment. Share the details. He has plenty of time. You don't have to be in a hurry with that prayer. But here's the big thing. Jesus Christ has the compassion that it takes to help us deal with them fears. He doesn't think that your fears are foolish or silly. He won't tell you to buck up and get tough. He's been where you are. He knows how you feel. Jesus Christ understands fear. So I ask you this morning to follow His example. Because He knows what you need. That is why we punctuate our prayer just as Jesus did. If you are willing. God didn't take away the cross. Jesus went there anyway. But He took the fear. After this moment and the Mount of Olives, Jesus went forward with pride, not fear. With humble obedience, not fear. God didn't calm the storm. He calmed the sailor. Who's to say that He won't do the same for you and me? Philippians 4, verses 6 reminds us, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, Present your request to God. So here's the deal. Don't measure the size of the mountain. Talk to the one who can move it. Instead of carrying the world on your shoulders, talk to the one who holds the universe on his. Hope is just a look away. Maybe you've let fear rule your life this past year. I don't know. You do. But today, I ask you this morning, give your fears to God. It is never too late to begin again. And all of God's people said, Amen. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning is, It Is Well With Me.